Jaron Lanier. And we're going to see just how futuristic we are and see if Jaron is surviving the storm up north. Jaron, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, hey from Santa Cruz.
Boy, you guys are really getting hit up there.
Yeah, how was it?
Well, you know, at the moment, we're kind of an island because all the roads are sealed. Mm-hmm. That's not strictly true. There's one way out, but there's no way in. So
sounds like our country.
You can make of that what you will. Yeah. It's okay. I'm very sorry to see some of my favorite places damaged, but yeah, we people will trundle on.
Yes.
I'm much more worried about the global climate issue than the local one.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll make it.
Jaron, I want to just tell folks a little bit about you. And first of all,
I don't think you can tell a little bit about
me. No, I could spend a whole hour just on the introduction.
That's true.
And we can't do that. So, but I think to cut to the quick, Jaron is best known, I think, as one of the founders of virtual reality. In fact, Jaron, you coined the phrase virtual reality, and you've been doing this a long time. In fact, you and I spoke 33 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, before the internet really took hold. And you were already out there with the first, the first glove and the equipment to create a virtual reality experience. If you could, because we're going to talk really more about AI, which is what you're involved in now, but just a little pretext, could you explain succinctly what virtual reality is?
And we're talking here about virtual reality. Yes, I do have trouble dealing with the futurist as much as I do with the future, but what bothers me the most is this concept of virtual reality. I mean, what's all this brouhaha about virtual reality? Isn't that what we've been living in for the past 30 years? I mean, you get your take on reality from the tube, dude, and you're on the virtual reality needle, but good. So you don't have to don a virtual reality helmet to stick your head in the sand. So times have changed, and the phony Cold War has melted down away, and hey, you just can't trick foreign dictators into a desert set piece video game style war and knock out their tanks and soldiers like so many rasters on a monitor. So it's time to live the good old colonial life in the sanctity of our local arcades. If we all have the green, we can live it right at home. The virtual reality world will be the last refuge for the large clip gun freaks who are being denied the city streets as a gun range.
Hello, I'm Ed Stiffner, the crazy commando, ordnance officer at the neighborhood survival gun store. Want to build up your small arms, Mr. and Mrs. Scaredy Cat Suburbanite? Has your neighborhood become dangerous to live in because people with different names have moved next door? Well, you don't have to take it lying down, but if you are lying down, try our recoilless recliner designer rifle. You don't have to leave the cozy comfort of your bed to waste that rude intruder or strafe the friggin' rock and roll party across the street. Tell them how to find us, Fred.
Well, I don't know, man.
Read the paper.
Oh, the paper. Concrete off the road tire.
Read our ad in the paper.
Neighborhood survival gun store is easy to find. Yeah, I'm here. We're four flights below the ruins of the beautiful bunker building. Left face, 14 goose steps, and you're there.
This week, try our survivalist special.
Yeah, that's the simple little kit we sell under the counter that converts your harmless 22 caliber starter pistol into a selective fire 50 millimeter armor piercing weapon system. It's a bitch.
So shoot first and make friends later.
Yeah.
Set your sights on your neighborhood survival gun store. Ask for Ed or Fred Stiffner.
That's us, the crazy commandos.
And you'll get free a life-size replica of the Alabaster Arrow of Improbability, the weapon that saved or did it destroy the ancient world, Fred.
Well, I don't know, Ed. I wasn't there, you know?
That's not much of it.
Now you can turn on Intruder at the Door and blow away the postman who sticks around too long at your mailbox. So instead of taking out your trash, now you can take out bogeys at 40,000 feet and watch the poor virtual bandit flame out over the landscape of your choice. Well, all forms of alienation. And modern life to me is Verfremdung. It is alienation, or a subset of virtual reality. Anything that keeps us from connecting as real people is part of the virtual reality scam. Again, we face the real possibility of losing our educated culture in the front of a video screen. Perhaps less imagination leaks out as you kickbox an anonymous street criminal into digital nowhere, but the cumulative effect is almost as frightening. People as mechanisms, as part of the human social game, are more complex, more daunting, and more challenging than anything the game designers can imagine. We must practice the human game if we are to make any real progress. There are no top 10 scores lists for those who do well in the real people arena, and the gratification, if that's what it really is not as immediate.
The trolls have your car. You have lost 250 points. You are not a top 10 scorer. Do you wish to sign on for the Dustmaster Caravan?
No way.
Do you wish to sign on for the Dustmaster Caravan? Do you wish to sign on for the Dustmaster Caravan? Do you wish to sign on for the Dustmaster Caravan?
But think of the world we'll be building if we trade itchy finger video games for the subtle interplay of person to person.
One of the things that's happening here in the post-modem age is that people are beginning to relate to each other over the internet. That's right, the internet, which was supposed to be just this place where nerds hang out, is a place where lovers are beginning to meet each other. And here at the Digital Diner, it's not unusual for that very thing to happen. In fact, if I'm not incorrect, if I look over there on table 7 and 8, which are adjoining booths, I see two lonely lovers talking to each other on the internet. They think they're millions of miles away, and they're just back to back.
Looking for an online lover who knows how to treat a real lady. I'm a woman's woman. Soft and slim. A porcelain doll, sweet as sugar. Cuddly, cute, playful and petite. From France. I'm a little Bo Peep, come herd my sheep. I am honest and true, and I have legs up to my ears. I am sexy, spirited, and totally sincere. I want to be your goddess. I want to be your bestest girl. I'll dance like a butterfly if you'll sting like a bee. I'm sick of phonies. I'm looking for someone to love me just for me. No games. Signed, Rosebud.
Attention, nethead babes. I'm a big bad daddy who's cruising for a bruising. Maybe you should teach me a lesson, feisty females. Come and rumble with this hog-loving road warrior. I'm the devil on a leash, a churning, burning urn of funk, itching for a high-speed chase on the infobahn of love. Destination, the flames of hell. No more hojo for this mojo. Let's work it to the big bad bone. Sign, Sleazy Rider.
Sleazy Rider? You sound like someone my mama wouldn't like.
Rosebud, are you as beautiful as your name?
Sweet talker.
Sweet's for the sweet.
Behave yourself, you silly man. I'm here to talk.
Baby, we both know why we're here. How long am I going to have to wait? Look, I got needs.
Can't we just cuddle?
Cuddle? Sure. Sure, hop on board this big bad hog and let's vroom vroom into a private room so no one can read us.
Ah, you're all alike.
What? Oh, baby, I could learn to love you, but you just gotta relax. Just be yourself.
My real self.
Let her rip.
Hold me.
Right this way.
Well, our own toys have rendered our thinking childish. Not the remarkable freshness of a child, but the immature inability to connect our immediate actions with their consequences. Take off the helmet and smell the sense of disaster all around you. Turn off the machine and listen to nature groaning under the impossible requirements upon her marvelous but delicate body. Pull the plug and start to live. There are better games inside your head than in any penny arcade. You can be the winner, and all of us can win along with you.
Hey, that, I think that says it all.
I mean, no, it's funny because I've been doing this for, I guess it's like 45 years now or something.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I can tell you what it used to be and what it is, because I think they're a little different.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what it was when I was quite young was this kind of vision of making the ultimate sort of aesthetic experience where people would be able to dream with their eyes wide open, but do it in a social way together where they were inventing each other's dreams, and that this would be this unbridled, endless, infinite, creative experiment that would be so beautiful and so seductive that it would be cooler and just more energetic than mm-hmm. war, and would help save people from themselves. Because a lot of the reasons people get stupid is we get so bored that we feel like we need to blow things up. So that was the original idea from long ago.
Beautiful.
And then, more recently, the whole thing, including some some little catchphrases that sound an awful lot like me as a teenager from way back, which would have been in the 70s if anybody's counting. The latest version happened in the last year and was one of the tech crazes. And what happens in the tech world is we periodically, well, we get bored, like I was just saying, and we just latch on to something and we feel this will be the, this finally will be the transcendent thing. And you'll get ultra enlightened, ultra cool, possibly immortal, definitely infinitely wealthy, and there'll be no cost. And this thing finally will be it. And that thing might be crypto, or I don't. Lately, it's AI again. But you know, periodically, it's virtual reality. And in the last year, there was this whole thing, largely because of Facebook changing its name to Meta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, we humans are, I guess, just romantics. We just really want this thrill of always feeling like we're on the verge of transcending it all. And I think, you know, just to cut to the chase of what wise people have been saying for thousands of years, ultimately you realize that the most transcendent, amazing thing is what's right in front of you, and this like quest for this crazy exotic thing is always a scam, you know? But hey, I didn't say anything. Like, go for it. Be excited. Do it. It's fun.
Well, we're going to cover as much as we can over the next hour.
Hey, listen, I had to cover my roof with a tarp today, so I'm ready to cover everything.
That wasn't virtual either.
No. Listen, man, it's for real.
Nature's for real. You don't have to put on, you know, strap on what do they call those eye
headset.
Covers?
A headset.
Or
yeah. And by the way, I still like them. Like, I still work on virtual reality stuff. I still enjoy a nice headset, and I still like working with young people who enjoy it. Like, it's cool. Headsets are as good as electric guitars. They're wonderful.
I understood the separation they made to say that oral sex was not thought of as sexual relations, that only intercourse would be. Well, I remember once with Lenny Bruce, when I was editing his autobiography and hanging around with him, and we were in a hotel room, and he said that a friend of his was coming up to the room, and her name was Blowjob Betty. And at the time, Playboy was serializing his autobiography, and they take out all proper names, or change them if they think there might be a lawsuit. And so they said, we can't print that name because suppose Blowjob Betty gets a lawyer and says, this is an invasion of my privacy. And I said, look, that's ridiculous. Nobody's going to come.
To his preposition, come is a verb. To his preposition, come is a verb. To his preposition, come is a verb. The verb in transitive. To come. To come. I've heard these two words my whole adult life. And as a kid, when I thought I was sleeping. To come.
And I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari, to Hatchapeete to Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made, driven the back road so I wouldn't get weighed. And if you give me weed, white sand wine, and you show me a
been like a big drum solo. Did you come? Did you come good? 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 Rick Tartine, I come better with you, sweetheart, than anyone in the whole goddamn world. Everybody came so good. Ernie came so good because I love you. Everybody came so good. I come better with you, sweetheart, than anyone in the whole world. Everything came so good, so good.
And reveal herself as Blowjob Betty, but they change it anyway, and they change it to Go Down Gussie. And I was just hoping that somebody named Go Down Gussie would come and sue.
Virgil Gus Grissom was selected as one of the original seven astronauts. A family man and a veteran of several space flights, he was a national hero and was likely to be the first man to walk on the moon.
It would have been a poetic justice somehow. And so she was an old friend of Lenny, and they started kissing, and they're in the bed, and I'm on an easy chair in the corner of the room. And he introduces me. He said, "That's Paul. He's interviewing me." And she said, "Oh, okay." And they proceeded to kiss for a while, and she took his pants off and started performing oral sex on him.
The first gig I ever worked up here was a place called Ann's 440, which was across the street. And I got a call, and the guy says, "There's a place in San Francisco, but they've changed the policy." "Well, what's the policy?" "Well, I'm not there anymore, that's the main thing." "Well, what kind of a show is it, man?" "Well, you know." "Well, no, I don't know, man. Like, it sounds kind of a weird show." "Well, it's not a show, they're a bunch of cuz, that's all. That's a damn fag show, and that's..." "Oh. Well, that is a pretty bizarre show." "I don't know what I could do in that kind of a show." "Well, no, it's, we want you to change all that." "Well, that's a big gig. I can just tell him to stop doing it."
And Lenny looks at me, and he's not necessarily an exhibitionist. I'm not necessarily a voyeur. And so I didn't quite know what to do. And then he said to her, he said, "I really want to fuck you now." And she said, "In front of him?" So you see, there was that distinction made. It's a long-standing tradition.
"Hello, my name is Melo Jello. I am the head of the athletic department. I head the athletic department. I am the athletic department head here."
But a lot of countercultural figures have died in the past couple of years. Tim Leary was another. He had been planning to have his head frozen, not just the whole body, but just the head, figuring that the technology someday, probably from a student here at MIT, would enable them to clone from the tissue of his head when it was possible to do so. And of course, if that failed, they could always use him in celebrity bowling, so nothing would be wasted. Shortly before he died, just a couple of weeks, he met the people, the cryonics people, who were going to freeze his head, and he said they had no sense of humor, and he didn't want to wake up in 50 years to see a bunch of guys standing over him with clipboards.
Down the bust. What I got arrested for in San Francisco. San Francisco, I got arrested for, what did I, we can hear that, Daddy. I'm not gonna repeat the word because I wanna finish the gig here tonight. It's, they said it was vernacular for a favorite homosexual practice, a 10-letter word. It's really chic, that's 2 4-letter words and a preposition. I can't, I wish I could tell you the word. It's, starts with a C, well, you know what the word is. Now, it's weird how they manifested that word as homosexual, because I don't. That relates to any contemporary chick I know, or would love, or would marry, you know. And, now, when I took the bust, I finished the show, I said that word, you know, the 10-letter word, and he comes over and says, Lenny, my name is Sergeant Blah Blah. You know the word you said? I said a lot of words that time. Well, that word. Oh, yeah. Well, Lenny, that's against the law, and I'm going to take you down. Okay, that's cool. It's against the law to say it and to do it. Well, I didn't do it, man. I know, but I just have to tell you that all the time. Okay. All right. Now, we're getting in the way again. And the one heat is cool, because he said you broke the law and specifically this thing. Now, the other guy, look, I got a wife and kid. I don't want to hear that crap at all, man. I don't want to get involved emotionally with this. What do you mean you want to hear that crap? Do wife ever do that to you? Bam. Then it got very sticky. No. You ever say the word no? Never said honest to God, never said the word never. How long are you married? 18 years. You ever chip on your wife? Never. Never one time in 18 years you chip it down your old lady, never one time. Then I love you. Because you're a spiritual guy, but if you're lying, you'll spend some dead time in purgatory. Now, we really got really into it. Okay, now, get in the court, take the same bus. The judge, Aaron Avramitz, a red-headed junkyard Jew, a real fabissiner with thick fingers and a homemade glass eye. Tough folk, right? He comes in, blah, blah. So, swear the heat in. What'd he say? Your Honor, he said blah, blah, blah. The judge, he said blah, blah, blah. Then the guy really yanted it up. That's right. I didn't believe it. There was a guy up on the stage in front of women and a mixed audience saying blah, blah, blah. The judge, well, this I never heard, blah, blah, blah. Said blah, blah, blah. He said blah, blah, blah. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's in the minutes, I'm not gonna lie to you. All right, the DA. The guy said blah, blah, blah. Look at him, he's smug, he's not gonna repent. Then I dug something. They sort of like saying blah, blah, blah. Because they said it a few extra times.
As long as I can, I can get over the motion sickness. I've tried all sorts of them, and every time I get, you know, the better the experience, the more upsetting it is to my stomach.
Did you know that Johnny Carson ate Cab Calloway's baby to stay slim?
Where did you hear that?
I read it in the toilet.
Curious people want to know.
Did you know there's a place just 6 feet under the earth where you go when you die?
Where did you pick that up?
I picked it up in the toilet.
Here's what you'll find in the toilet this week.
Princess Di gave birth to a 65-pound show horse.
John Kennedy's come back in a spaceship with a super new diet.
Bert is dating John Hinckley to make Warren jealous.
I'm sleeping with Joan Collins and I don't even know it.
Where did you read that?
In the toilet.
The National Toilet. Put a quarter in the slot and we'll wipe the world for you.
Despite all the technology you have been involved in trailblazing, you never lose touch with humanity and that aspect of it. And that's so important.
Hey, listen, Einstein played the violin.
Not very well.
Well, it doesn't matter.
He was okay. He was okay. Let's not get all jumpy.
Well, my grandmother was best friends with his niece in Germany.
Ah.
And she grew up knowing Uncle Albert. That's why I say that, because she said to me once, and she was no slacker. She was a chemistry student at the University of Berlin. And one day she said to Uncle Albert, she said, how can you be playing these halls where people pay money, Uncle Albert? You don't know how to play. You're not very good at it. And Uncle Albert said to him, Margaret, if people are willing to pay to see me play, I will do that.
Oh, that's so delightful. It's interesting.
And you know what? I say good for him.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, Einstein's niece is the way to figure out how to pronounce an Ein or an In, like Epstein or Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually Weinstein. Why do they call him Weinstein? But it's Weinstein, like Einstein.
See, this is a good example of algorithms gone wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
I just think the problem is that you're all stoned.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Today, the stones were rolling down into the
No. Oh, wait, pardon me. I'm calling from Santa Cruz. All of you in L.A. are inadequately stoned, and that is why you can't pronounce Stein.
That's probably what it is.
So let's talk.
We understand these things up here.
Up there, yes. You have an overview. Yeah.
Run away, just don't leave me here alone. Where the wreck me,
thousand years. Yeah.
It was a fine garden that Antonio Carozzi kept. There were tall, aggressive beanstalks, jungles of cotton and tomato vines, ears of corn like golden footballs, and out front, placed there to conceal the tempting vegetables, 300 spindly marijuana plants. I didn't even know it could be smoked, Carozzi said, when North Tarrytown, New York police harvested the offending shoots and planted a drug charge on the 57-year-old Italian immigrant, which was later discharged. He visited his native village, Carmanda, in the Abruzzi Mountains, and brought back a packet of canapa seeds. Camardans, he recalled from his youth, used canapa fibers to make thread and cloth. Its seeds are used in soups and candies. The kids, Carozzi recalled, used to carry them in their pockets and eat them like peanuts. Ironically, only the leaves are thrown away. Always I wondered why in America, where they have everything, they did not have canapa seeds. I look everywhere for them, even in the bird seed. How come, I wonder, they do not have? Now I know.
Only the hoove knows.
Those were the words of Harry, the hash hedge Carozzi, right?